None of us get to where we are on our own, and we all need other people in our life. I've said it before, we stand on the shoulders of those that have gone before us, and those who come after us will hopefully stand on our shoulders, and we get an opportunity to pave the path for the next generations as well. As we start a brand new year, I want to say something that should be kind of a duh moment, and it's this: change is hard. Amen? Change is hard. In fact, it's a word that we don't always like to think about too often. And yet this time of year, kind of, it comes up a little bit more. You know, we think about things that we might need to change. And there's always interesting stuff about the resolutions that people make this time of year. And the most well-known research place that compiles a lot of this data is the Pew Research Foundation. And they listed the top five resolutions that were made just in this past year, 2024, based on their data. And most of them should be pretty obvious. The top five were related to health, exercise and diet, or money or finances was number two. Different types of relationship resolutions were number three. Things having to do with hobbies or personal interests were number four. And number five were work or career related things. And it tended to go across age categories as well. Do you know roughly how many Americans on average make resolutions? Anyone have a guess? 75, I heard 80, I heard it's about, believe it or not, 30%. About 30% of people tend to make resolutions on a pretty yearly basis, and about half of people under the age of 30 fall into resolution territory. And then you can see as we age, we tend to make less and less resolutions. I don't know what that says about anything. I don't know that we can interpret the data, or maybe we just, you know, put our hand up for the bracket that we find ourselves in. And of the people who make resolutions, they tend to fall in two different categories. There's the category of person who wants to change something, and then there's the category of someone who wants to change everything. And if you find yourself ever in the second category, how's that working for you? We know that if we try to make wholesale changes, it's really hard to stick with things. Often it's those incremental steps along the way. Yes, change is hard. But as we look at the Bible, and for people of faith, there is good news. Change is hard, yes, but with God, change is always possible. And if there is something in you that needs to change this year, it's going to require you to believe that with God, it is possible. Without that belief, you probably won't get very far. We're going to look at the Gospel of Mark this morning, the very beginning of Mark's Gospel. And I like Mark's Gospel because he tends to highlight this theme throughout his Gospel. He highlights the idea of change because something new is at hand in the story of Jesus. I would direct your attention to Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And this is all about Jesus announcing the good news. And it says, "The time has come," Jesus said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. We've talked about that word repent before, of it being a turning away from and a turning to something. Turning away from that which would keep us from God and turning towards that which would draw us toward God or closer to God. From the beginning of Jesus' life, he was announcing a new kind of change. Now, as humans, we know that we have trouble letting go. We have trouble letting go of stuff. Don't go in our garage. We have trouble letting go of people at times. We have trouble letting go of feelings and hurts and even dreams and future plans that we might have. And Jesus knows that we have almost like an attachment disorder. We get attached to things and we sometimes have trouble letting things go, or we get attached to the wrong things and we have trouble letting them go as well. So when Jesus seeks and calls disciples to himself in Mark chapter 1, it is to a new way of life that sometimes we think is not possible right now. In Mark's gospel story, how Jesus' disciples grow and are transformed and develop is actually central to Mark's story. And I believe that it's something that we all can relate to, our own growth. When you read the accounts of the disciples, we see a lot of human people. We see people who, like us, fail and even disappoint Jesus at times, yet their role, like ours, is crucial to God's mission in this world. Because God's new thing that he was doing, starting with Jesus, is something that happens through flawed and vulnerable people. Those disciples, and you and me, who are called to be disciples as well. The very next verse, verse 16, says this: as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. This is a well-known verse, well-known phrase, fishers of men, fishers of people. And they were just doing what they knew how to do. They were fishermen. So what do fishermen do? They fish. They're doing their ordinary work because they were ordinary people, like you or me. There was nothing particularly special about them other than Jesus saw them in that moment. He saw something deeper within them. It's, I think, how Jesus sees us as well, because we are ordinary people for the most part. We have ordinary jobs, no matter how important they might be, they're still a job. We have school commitments, we have home commitments, other work commitments, we have other things just going about our normal lives. Yet this is how God operates. He seeks out ordinary people for extraordinary purposes, a chance to partner with him in his mission to the world. And this is what Jesus does in Mark 1. Verse 17 says this, very well-known verse: come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Depending on which English translation of the Bible you have, it might even say, I will make you become fishers of men. Or I will turn you into fishers of people. But everything that happens in the second half of the verse is all dependent on the first part. Come, follow me. Now, this was actually pretty unusual in this day, because normally there would be a teacher, a rabbi of some sort, and people would go to that teacher and they would ask basically to sit at their feet, to learn, to grow, whatever it was that they were learning about. But in this case, Jesus does the opposite. He goes to the people and calls them to himself. Come follow me. It's a little bit weird, to be perfectly honest, because Mark included, there's no introduction. It'd be like some random person just walking up to you and say, come on, follow me. I mean, we might have a few questions before we say, yes, I'm going to follow you. There's no explanation included here. In the Old Testament, the prophets repeated this call often, follow God. And now Jesus is repeating this call, follow me. He doesn't just do this one time. He does this like a dozen different times in the gospel accounts alone, almost 20 times or so, in about a dozen different conversations, saying, come, follow me. He's going to transform this small group of fishermen from the ordinary work that they are doing into extraordinary work, transforming who they are. They are going to now fish for people. Not ordinary work, but something new. Something that they couldn't even imagine. It was not probably on their radar screen before this point. They did not know what radar was. It had not been invented yet. This is how they responded. Verse 18. It says, at once. The other way of saying that word is immediately. It's one of my favorite words in the Bible. Immediately. They left their nets and followed him. Jesus does it again, the very next verse. It's another set of brothers, James and John. Verse 19, it says, when he had gone a little farther, that's Jesus, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them. And what did they do? They left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Jesus, in essence, says, stop what you're doing. Drop your nets. You got to follow me. It's kind of ludicrous when you think about it. Imagine you're in your family business, and all of a sudden, Jesus calls you to lay it all down. You're working with your father. And Jesus says, no, follow me. This was a hard moment, I'm sure. Stop what you're doing. Follow me. It's an abrupt change. But why are they able to make it? There's something about Jesus. Like the song goes, there's something about that name. Something that made people look and feel that something was different within them. Change often requires difficult choices. And yes, it can be hard. And as you consider what changes you might need to make this year, perhaps it's a resolution, or maybe you don't want to use that word. The only thing to think about then is what will it take for you to get from here to there. There are lots of different patterns, I guess we could say, a lot of different ways, but the first and simplest thing that we can do is we have to start. We have to start now. If something is so good that that's where God wants you, then don't delay. Start today. When your calling or goal that you have is so good, it's something that you can't wait to get started. We see this a lot in January. You go to any gym, it's full right now. Maybe February, maybe a little less full by February. Don't delay. If you have trouble with money, maybe this is the day that you need to start a budget. If you have a relationship that is broken, perhaps today is the day that you need to reach out. If you want to start reading the Bible, start today. If you want to complete the Bible in a year, start today. You're already 5 days behind. No. If you are suffering from addiction, today can be day one. For Simon and Andrew, at once, immediately, without delay, they put down their nets and they followed Jesus, and the rest is history for them. At once, they left their nets and followed him, because where Jesus was calling them to was better than where they were. They might have had a very charmed and wonderful life. I'm sure they worked hard. But where Jesus was calling them to was better than where they were right now, no matter how good it seemed to them at the moment. And even if they couldn't see it yet, something within them knew it to be true. If they didn't know it to be true, they would never have responded like they did at once. Start now. For some of you, in order to start, it's going to require something else, though. Quite simply, let go. There are things in our lives that we have to let go of. For those guys, they have to let go of their nets, quite literally and figuratively. Change requires letting go of some things. The same verse, at once they left their nets and followed him. I'm sure this was hard. They left their family business. They left their family. They dropped everything they were doing. I don't even know if there was explanation given to the people around them, the people that depended on them. Maybe they didn't understand either what was going on. But something changed for them. For you, what is that? There's a verse in the Bible, Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So my question for us today is, what is hindering you from being where Jesus is calling you? What is keeping you from where Jesus wants you to go or who he wants you to be in this year? If it's something like a bad habit, throw it off. If it's something that is hard, it might even take other people in your life to help you in this. It might take a lot of help for some of us. Let go. The third thing, just a very simple phrase, get going. Start now, let go, get going. Change requires action. It requires movement. For these first disciples, they changed what they were doing, and it says in verse 18, they followed him. Wherever Jesus was going, they had to follow. They couldn't move before Jesus. They couldn't move too slow. They had to move with Jesus if they were going to experience the transforming change that he was offering. Change requires, we know, that initial step. Which step is the hardest step? The first step. All of us know that at some level. And then it takes a daily commitment. To have lasting change, it's an initial step with a daily commitment. We learn this much from the Bible. Luke 9, Jesus says this. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross. How often? Daily. And follow me. Yeah, it's a first step. When you say yes to Jesus, it's like a one-time decision with a daily act, a daily walk. One of the earliest questions that the earliest covenant church folk used to say, they would come up to fellow brothers and sisters and they would say, how goes your walk? That was one of the guiding questions, because it was a question that really kind of opened it up and opened up the conversation. How goes your walk? Yes, change is hard, but with God, change is possible. The good news is this. You don't have to do it on your own, and you don't need to do it alone. In fact, I would encourage you not to go it alone. The good news is that it's not actually us who does a lot of the work. Jesus said to them, follow me, and who? I will make you become fishers of men. I will make you. Jesus is the one who allows us to change. He calls us, he says, come follow me, and he is the one that empowers us to change. We don't change on our own apart from Jesus. We are active, we participate, but Jesus is the transforming power. I will make you become. When I read those words, it gives me great hope because it also means I will make you is future. That means that God is still at work, as we sang. It means that God is not done with you. He's not done with me. He is still transforming us into the people he knows we can be. And that is a wonderfully hopeful thing, especially when I screw up. And I imagine many of you feel the same way, that God is not done with us. Empowered by God, lasting change is possible in your life. Friends, Jesus sees you for you. He knows what is best for you. And just like he did for those first disciples, he does for you and me today. He says, come, follow me, and I will make you become who I know you can be. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are the power that makes lasting change possible in our lives. Lord, we want to follow you every day. We want to follow you this year and always. I pray that for this group of people that you have gathered here today by the power of your Spirit, that you would reveal to each of us where you are calling us to live more in alignment with you this year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we prepare to go out into a whole new world where we live a majority of our life for this day and the rest of 2025, go in peace to love God and love one another. May you bless the world in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen and amen. Church, have a wonderful week. So have a wonderful week, y'all.